Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has asked the Justice Minister to speed up preparation of bills aimed at helping those in difficult life situations. The Transport Minister has said that renovation of the D1 highway will need to be sped up to meet the 2020 target. And Czechs are spending hundreds of millions more crowns on books. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka continued a series of work assessment meetings with government ministers, meeting on Monday with Justice Minister Robert Pelikán. The Premier asked the Justice Minister to pick up the pace for the preparation of the insolvency law and the law on free legal aid. Mr. Sobotka stressed these were of particular importance as they were intended to help individuals in difficult life situations. The Prime Minister is looking for ways to improve government results, as well as those of his own Social Democratic Party, ahead of parliamentary elections next year. He has four more meetings with ministers scheduled this week. Renovation of the country's D1 highway should be complete by 2020, but in order for the target to be met, the tempo of construction along remaining sections of the highway will need to be sped up, Transport Minister Dan Kyok confirmed on Monday. The D1 running from Prague to Brno is heavily used and has a number of sections in need of repair or improvement. Renovation has been ongoing for a number of years already, leading to significant traffic delays in areas during the holidays. According to the Czech news agency, repairs could continue on the D1 in 9 places simultaneously next year. Participants in a meeting on Monday of the so-called tripartite of the unions, employers, and the government have agreed to boost paid sick leave in the case of long-term illness. The government is hoping to tack one of three possible scenarios discussed so far onto a health insurance amendment. The Prime Minister has already said that he will back a proposal put forward by Labour Minister Michaela Marksova, counting on a rise of 6% in paid sick leave from the 31st day off. The Cabinet is to table the issue on Wednesday. In other news, the regional court in Brno has decided to suspend a prison term of 4.5 years being served by lobbyist Roman Janošek by 1 year due to the state of the prisoner's health. Mr. Janošek, serving jail time for his role in a hit-and-run in Prague under the influence of alcohol, has long complained of complications following brain surgery. Mr. Janošek will resume his sentence in November of next year. The former head of the Plzeň-based Škoda Transportation, 51-year-old Social Democrat Josef Bernard, was elected governor of the region of Plzeň on Monday, receiving 23 of 45 votes from new councillors who had been elected in October. The Communist Party's Oldřich Bubeníček, meanwhile, was elected for the second term as the governor of the region of Úzký, receiving 28 of 55 votes. Czechs last year spent roughly 7.5 billion crowns, the equivalent of around 31.4 million euros on books, a rise of around 5% year on year. This, according to statistics released by the Association of Czech Booksellers and Publishers. The rise amounts to an increase of between 300 and 400 million crowns. The increase marks a turnaround after several years' stagnation. According to the association, spending on books increased, at least in part due to a lowering of the VAT rate as well as the improving economy, the VAT rate there on books. A painting by Czech artist Emil Fila fetched an auction price of 8 million crowns in Prague on Sunday. The new owner will in fact pay around 10 million crowns after auction fees are taken into account. A reserve price of 6.8 million crowns had been put on the painting, Figure of a Woman, which dates back to 1912. The record price for a Fila painting on the domestic art market remains at 17.5 million crowns. Dozens of meteorological measuring stations around the Czech Republic, namely in the northeast of the country, registered record highs on Monday. The highest for the date of November the 21st was recorded in Karviná, 18.6 degrees Celsius. The unseasonably warm weather is expected to continue on Tuesday, and specifically in Prague, Tuesday should be partly cloudy with sunny periods, with daytime highs averaging around 11 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Velinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, young people are becoming the primary target of the gaming industry in the Czech Republic. Czech tourist industry groups want to encourage non-EU tourists to spend more by offering them greater VAT returns. We have the roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later on in the program, we'll hear from Miloš Seidel, a pioneer of the swing dance style in Prague. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Just a few years ago, Prague had more casinos than Las Vegas. A restrictive law which came into force last year has seen their numbers dwindle, but it failed to address the problem of gambling, sending compulsive gamblers online and creating a new group of young addicts who have never set foot inside a gaming house. The head of the government's national anti-drug agency, Jindřich Vobořil, told Daniela Lazarová the young generation has become the primary target of the gaming industry.
Of course, teenagers are at this moment people who grew up with new technologies, and the whole industry is changing towards supporting this type of business. And of course, looking at the young underage people, they are the most vulnerable group, and they're going to be, of course, the future of the income to the industry. So when we look at a 17-year-old, almost 30% of them have already experienced gambling online.
What is being done in terms of prevention then?
Because very little at this moment. We have a new law which is going to be active since 1st January, which will restrict all type of gambling of legal industries, of course, which will also look at illegal providers, because we have at this moment lots of illegal providers online, even such illegal providers which officially sponsor sports in Czech Republic, and they have advertising and they are illegal here. So we're going to have massive change since 1st January, and of course this government allocated some budget first time to put some money in prevention and treatment.
Do you see the legislation itself alone, which will come into force next year, as being adequate, or would you like to see more action?
Legislation is only one leg, as we say. It's not going to resolve it all, obviously. And also, legislation is a paper. We have to make sure that we are going to push the legislation forward, not only have it on a paper. We know it from the legislation on alcohol being sold to under 18, which is forbidden, and it's been always a problem. And on the other hand, we know that legislation cannot resolve everything. We need to have money for prevention and treatment. In this regard, we talk about following countries such as Portugal, for example, which allocated some percentage from the income from gambling industries to prevention and treatment.
In this country, there are some 100,000 gamblers, I believe, who have a problem, but only around 1,500 seek medical help. Why is that?
Because there was no interventions aimed to those people. So it's the first time when we allocated some money. So we have 14 districts in this country, and we want in each of them accessible service, accessible counseling. We started 7 of them, and I would like to see some online kind of counseling room, let's say, and of course a telephone line, which is waiting in a near future to be established.
The head of the government's national anti-drug agency, Jindřich Vobořil, talking there to Daniela Lazarová. The number of Chinese visitors to the Czech Republic has been rising fast in recent years. Now, Czech tourist industry groups want to encourage them and other non-EU tourists to spend more when they are here by offering them greater VAT returns on goods bought during their stay. Ian Willoughby has the details.
At present, visitors from China, Russia and other non-EU states can apply to get the VAT back on all purchases made in the Czech Republic at a value of 2,000 crowns or more. Now associations involved in incoming tourism are lobbying for that amount to be cut to 1,500 crowns, Internet.cz reported on Monday. If the change were made, tourism bodies believe it would lead to a marked uptick in how much such visitors leave in the country, the news website said. A study produced by the Czech Chamber of Commerce suggests that the move would lead to a hole of 30 million crowns a year in the state coffers. But that's a small amount when set beside the 1 billion crowns that tourists now get back in VAT annually, according to the study. The study's authors believe the idea would above all have a psychological effect. Thanks to the overall sense that good deals are to be had in Czech shops, non-EU visitors would spend an extra 150 million crowns a year, they say. What's more, the number of jobs in tourism would grow because of the impact on the grey economy. It would suffer as documentation would obviously be necessary to get the VAT back, the report contends. It also claims that reducing the limit would serve as a buffer when the Czech National Bank ends its weak crown policy, probably next year. However, the Tourist Association's idea has a major opponent, the Ministry of Finance. Spokesman Jakub Winterlich told Idnes.cz that the ministry is against reducing the limit as it sees no benefit to it. According to the ministry's calculations, the move would cost the state at least 250 million crowns. In addition, such tourists usually buy luxury items that go for considerably more than 1,500 crowns, so it would be of little benefit to retailers in any case, they say. However, a representative of crystal producer Moser said visitors spend an average of 1,700 crowns on small gift items at its stores in Prague and Karlovy Vary. Retailers also argue that they need to compete more with retailers in other states. Germany returns VAT on all purchases made by non-EU tourists, while states such as Poland have lower limits than in the Czech Republic.
Ian Willoughby with that report. And Ian stays in the studio with the roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with football, and in the Czech League, the gap between main title contenders Viktoria Plzeň and Sparta Prague has narrowed slightly. Plzeň are still top of the league, 2 points ahead of surprise package Zlín, after a goalless away draw at fourth place Mladá Boleslav at the weekend. That game was notable for its lack of chances, with a total of only 5 attempts on goal in the 90 minutes. Mladá Boleslav striker Stanislav Klobasa said, however, that few would have been surprised by the outcome.
I even read betting advice that said a 0-0 result was the most likely outcome, so it could have been expected. Everybody did their jobs and there just weren't any chances. We were hoping to make up ground on Plzeň, but unfortunately it didn't work out. But it was clear that it was a clash between two solid teams. Both sides tried to make the fewest possible mistakes, and that led to the game not being so attractive.
And Sparta are still trailing by some distance, but their gap on Plzeň has now been cut to 7 points after the Prague club beat Karviná 3-0 in the capital. Sparta achieved that win despite missing a long list of regular starters due to injury and suspension. Coach David Holoubek had even joked beforehand it'd be easy to pick the team. Anybody left from the first team squad would be thrown on.
It's a very complicated situation. At 10 this morning, the doctor called to say that Lukáš Mareček had been given an infusion, that he was ill and hadn't slept all night. So I'm glad that he even played. Right now I'm fielding all the healthy players. I'm also going to call up players from the under-19s. There's no other way. We don't have any other players.
Sparta's situation is unlikely to be much changed by Thursday when they welcome Southampton in the Europa League. Sparta currently lead their group 2 points ahead of the English club. Ice hockey, and Jaromír Jágr had his best game of the season on Saturday, scoring twice to end a 13-game Barons streak and help his Florida Panthers to a 4-1 win over Ottawa Senators. The 44-year-old also notched up one assist in that match. On the downside, Jagr again lost a tooth in that encounter, making a total of five teeth the ice hockey legend has had knocked out in games against Ottawa this season. Finally, judo and Lukáš Krpálek has completely inevitably been named Czech Judoka of the Year. It's the eighth time in a row that he's won that accolade, which crowns a year in which he became the first ever Czech to take judo gold at the Olympic Games. And that's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Today, Prague-born dancer Miloš Seidl lives and works in New York, but before that, he helped the dance style swing achieve hitherto unseen popularity in the Czech Republic, as he tells Ian Willoughby in this edition of One on One.
Recently, the Prague Spring Swing Festival packed out the Grand Hall at the Lucerna Palace, confirming the dance style's growing popularity in the Czech Republic. Miloš Seidl has been one of the pioneers of swing in this country, as a leading member of scene mainstays, the Zigzag Group. Today, however, Seidl is living out a long-held dream as a dance instructor in New York. When he came into our studios recently on a return to Prague, I asked him how he'd got into swing in the first place.
I started dancing when I was 18. I signed up for tap dance classes. And the teacher who taught the tap dance class, he also taught tap, like swing dancing. And after one class, he suggested that I stay for the swing class. And because I did ballroom dancing and some Latin dancing, and jive is similar to swing because it actually came from swing. So I stayed for this class and I really enjoyed it because it was very free form of dancing and not as strict as jive and all this Latin, and it was more masculine. So I really had a good time. And then I find out that this guy, you know, his name is Zdeněk Pilecký, and he became my first teacher, swing teacher. He actually participated at the Swing Kids movie, which was filmed in Prague, and they hired Czech dancers for that. So that's a very interesting story, that because I've heard from people that they started dancing because of this movie. They saw this movie and they really they fell in love with this dance. I also started because of the movie, but not because I saw the movie, but because this guy was actually trained how to do swing. And then when the movie was filmed, he decided to teach it and pass it on. And I was his student.
And what year was this?
1999.
So at that time, was swing, was Lindy Hop, all this stuff, was it popular here?
Not at all. Yeah, nobody knew about swing. It was a little bit, it started being popular in the Western Europe. Maybe, actually it started in Sweden. It started in Sweden. The revival started in 90s, maybe late 80s in America. But because Swedish people, they discovered Frankie Manning, and he's called the ambassador of swing. He's the great guy from 40s. And they kind of asked him to teach them how to do Lindy Hop. So they are responsible for the revival of swing in Europe. By 1999, there was no swing in Czech Republic.
So
no.
You and this guy, Zdeněk, and other people, you were pioneers of swing.
Yes.
How did you, now it's quite popular, how did you achieve that?
I feel very happy about it. I remember that we started the social dancing. We started teaching in Gem Cafe. It was kind of exceptional because nobody really taught dancing in this. I mean, salsa people, they use bars for dancing and for teaching as well. But, usually in Czech Republic, dance was taught in exercising rooms. And we started teaching in this cafe. And after the class, people could stay and practice the steps. And it was nice and easy atmosphere because people could have a drink, talk to other people, they didn't necessarily have to dance all the time, but it was like social dancing, socializing between people, and also dancing. And I think that's what is really interesting about swing. And of course, the music and the excitement and all this stuff.
And today it's so big that you have events at Lucerna Grand Hall.
Yes. Prague Spring Swing Festival was something that really also helped in growing the scene, because it attracted people from abroad. And when people here in Prague, they saw all these foreigners dancing like crazy and swing out energy and throwing the girl and improvising, they get excited about it. And this festival is growing every year. Now I talked to Zdeněk 2 days ago, and he told me that he wants to kind of keep it like, he doesn't want to expand like crazy, you know, he wants to keep it like about like 400 people. He's not really interested in have more people than that.
To my mind, all this stuff seems so old-fashioned. What kind of people are interested in it? Are they people who like everything that's retro?
Yes, actually, there's a bunch of people that they like the style. They don't necessarily dance, but they like the fashion. They like, you know, like dress like 40s. They like the makeup. They like the hair. You know, ladies and the guys, they like the suits and all this stuff. So there are some people that they actually started, you know, like dancing after they like the fashion, and they, you know, so, and then they discover the dance. There are other people that they like the music, they discover the dance, and they discover the fashion after. But it's actually kind of connected, that people who like dance swing, they also know about the fashion and they dress up when they go out dancing.
Well, now, Milo, you live in New York. What prompted you to move to the States?
That's an interesting story. There was like two aspects. First, when I came to New York, it was for a short visit. We actually went with my girlfriend and we traveled to Minnesota to go to Showdown. It's a competition and it was very famous and we wanted to see it with our own eyes. And so, and we also stayed a little bit in New York because it was our first visit in the United States. So we also traveled a little bit. The competition was amazing, and the experience, you know, like with the city of New York was incredible as well. I liked the city, and I visited a dancing school there, Steps on Broadway, and I just really loved the atmosphere. This school is actually, they don't teach partner dancing. This is jazz, ballet, modern, and tap. And since I mentioned I started with tap dancing, I really like the school, and I thought, oh, that would be such a great idea if I could ever study here. And I actually did. And then 5 years later, I signed up for the International Student Visa Program and I was accepted. And I enjoyed 10 months studying at this school. And then I went back home, back to Prague. And then I stayed there 1 year and I said, I have to go back because, you know, it was such a great experience. I need to go back. And then I decided to move to New York. And then I found DanceSport, which is the school I teach for now.
And was it difficult to find work, to find a place in Prague? You were one of the best in the country, maybe one of the best in Europe. In New York, I'm sure there are lots of great dancers.
That's true. But, you know, as I mentioned, surprisingly, the revival in the United States started much earlier. And now it's kind of decreasing. So I would say, you know, like that Europe now is actually much more in swing than United States. So surprisingly, even though the scene is nice and big because it's a big city, you know, there's not that many teachers. So when I moved there, it was surprisingly easy for me to find a job.
And what has living in New York and working in New York, what has it given you?
I would say, you know, it is an experience. It is an experience. It's a good time. I'm enjoying the city. I enjoy the people there. I enjoy how open it is. And I'm enjoying also that people help each other. and they express their feelings. They are more open. I feel that. In compared to Prague, Prague is like maybe, I'm not sure why, but people are not that excited. If something happens, they don't really express their excitement there. Yeah, but Americans are, you know, like exactly the opposite. They are always excited.
And what does the future hold for you, Milo? Will you stay there?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it, and I'm in the process of applying for a green card. And yeah, it's a process. So it's going to take time. But since I'm having good time there, I'm thinking of staying there forever. But also, I got, you know, like my parents, I got my brothers here. So all my relatives are here. So it's also like difficult decision. As I see it now, I'm definitely going to stay for a couple of years and maybe forever.
As a teacher, uh-huh. Can you keep working forever, or is there a point where you would simply become too old? I mean, I really have no idea.
I'm not sure, you know, if I got the answer for this question, but of course I wish to teach, you know, like till I die. Yeah, Frankie Manning, for example, you know, like before he died, he was almost 95 years old and he was still traveling all around the world. And he was teaching and sharing his, you know, enthusiasm and love for this dance. So it's my inspiration. It's my inspiration. I would like to be something like him in this matter. Yeah, I hope I'm going to be lucky like that.
Prague-born dancer Milo Seidel was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, which was first broadcast in May this year. And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.